One of the smartest white men on this side of heaven is here. It's the last Tuesday of the month. Some of you know, those who are tuning in for the first time, Bill Lockwood. Bill Lockwood is here. He is a blogger, radio host at American Liberty with Bill Lockwood, a preacher at Our Park Church of Christ, a teacher at Wichita Falls, and the author of the study guide, Ezekiel, the wise men of Israel. And we're going to tell you how to get all that information before Bill leaves today. I really like having Bill on. Not only is he a good friend of mine, he's a radio show and a bond. As I said, one of the smartest white men on this side of heaven. Bill, good morning.
Good morning, Jesse. How are you today?
All is well, sir. How are you?
Very good. Very good. Just happy to be here with you.
Thank you. A lot going on in the world right now, huh?
Seems like it just continues and rolls bigger and bigger, doesn't it? A lot more happening than you thought. So.
And the Democrats don't seem to know if they're going or coming.
Well, it's a crazy country right now, I'll tell you. That is. And I think the Democrats are just in a tailspin on every situation.
Yeah. And speaking of a Democrat, have you seen Beto O'Rourke? He openly says he wants to take out the rifles.
Right. Yeah.
What do you think about that?
Yeah, I wrote an article on this and I asked the question, are we going to have another Lexington and Concord? That occurred in April of 1775, which really was the spark that lit the American Revolution, the War for Independence, against the intrusive Great Britain, who was stationed in Boston and all over the eastern seaboard, but particularly at Boston. And, the very spark that lit the entire revolution was the fact that the country of Great Britain and their army that was stationed in Boston demanded that they were going to turn over their weapons. And they actually sent out an army to catch all of the or get all the weapons, to confiscate the weapons that they had stored at Concord. That is, the Patriots had stored at Concord.
Right.
And so that's what they did. They marched down into the country and they came to Lexington, which was just a little town on the way. And there were those that were there, Patriots, who were part of the militia, led by Captain John Parker, says, no, you're not. And Major Pitcairn of the British regulars demanded they get out of the way, and shooting began. And next thing you know, they ran on toward Concord, but the militia was coming out of the woodwork at that point, and they ran them all the way back to Boston. But the very point is that Americans have always believed in self-preservation and self-government because God has given us the rights. And since we have God-given rights, then who is it that wants to demand or remove those rights? And part of those rights are self-preservation from an intrusive government. And that's exactly what Beto O'Rourke is about here. He is demanding, just in the same sense as King George III, that we confiscate, or the government confiscate, weapons that God has allowed us to have. And I tell you, it's a frightening thing to think that they would be so bold as to make those statements.
Yeah, I was going to ask, what is it about the American people that Beto O'Rourke and others are openly saying that they're going to take our guns away? Why aren't they afraid of retaliation or something?
Well, you know what? The Democrats have wanted to do this for years and years and years. But, you know, they've had to do this kind of thing, Jesse, you know, kind of wait and see which way the wind is blowing.
Yeah.
And I think it's blowing pretty strongly in their direction at this point. So they're openly saying that they're going to confiscate weapons. And, of course, if they confiscate AR-15s or whatever weapon they might designate, what's to keep them from confiscating another? It's just now up to them as to which they're basically operating on the premise that we will allow you to have this one, but we will not allow you to have that one. And when that premise is solidly established, that they're going to allow us to have what they want us to have, then they may tell us, well, we don't want you to have anything. And that's exactly, of course, where the end game is on this particular issue.
I remember when at one time they were just saying common sense gun control. They were using words like that, but they seem to have gone way beyond that now.
Yeah, they have gone way beyond that, and they're openly advocating, Joe Biden is also openly advocating for confiscation of firearms. As a matter of fact, all the Democrats, the whole Democratic platform, this is really the issue, and the issue is regarding whether we have God-given rights, yes or no. The truth is the Democrat Party has become the party of Karl Marx, and they do not believe in God, they don't want God, and they don't want to have you having any basis in God-given rights. Yeah. They believe, just as the United Nations preaches that you have what rights we deem you may be able to have, and if we decide that we'll remove those rights, we'll take them. They give them, they take them away. And that's exactly where the Democratic Party is. And that's the issue of the day. And I think people need to wake up and see this.
They did the same thing with abortion. They were promoting abortion at one time. They said only when it's safe and necessary. Right. Now they're gone to killing the baby at the ninth month.
That's a good illustration. They get their foot in the door, and then they go wherever they want to go.
Yeah.
But once you have admitted the principle that they decide at what point a baby's life is viable or a baby is a human, once the Democrats are making that decision,
yeah,
then what's to say that they're going to change the time at which a person becomes a human? That's exactly what they have done. Same thing with the income tax. Same exact thing. They promised in the 1930s, in the FDR period, that it would only be a small percentage of the money that you ever pay, that you'll ever have to pay. But, you know, that they got the foot in the door, and they are running haywire with it. And now we work from January through June for the government.
I know. Do you think they will ever change the Second Amendment? Will that ever change?
No, I don't think they're going to change the Second Amendment. They treat it as birdcage liner, however. They just treat it as trash. They don't respect it. They don't respect any of the Bill of Rights. You know, the Fourth Amendment, for example, has been trashed itself, which gives us the right of privacy. And we trashed that in Woodrow Wilson's period when we had the income tax law. The income tax law basically says, we'll get in there and look at your papers, and you're going to report every dime that you've spent and where you received it and where you're spending it, and you're going to report it to us. Well, what is that? That's the same thing as the British coming into the warehouses at Boston saying, you're going to open up every box that you received, and we're going to look and see what you got. And that's exactly the same thing. So they put the Fourth Amendment in there, for the right of privacy, for people that their homes should not be broken into and spied on by the British government. But the American government does the same thing.
Amazing. What are your thoughts on this red flag law they're talking about?
You know, the red flag law is just another way for gun control or gun confiscation is all that it is. It is, I think it's harrowing. It's a frightening element. And that basically, the red flag laws, if people are not familiar with them, such as in the state of Colorado and other places, and that is, we're supposed to be spying on one another. And if you see that something is askew or something is not quite right with the Jesse Lee Peterson, then I'm going to call in anonymously to my representatives or to whomever the authorities may be and say, you know what? I know that Jesse Lee Peterson has some ideas that he's anti-government and he has some weapons over there. And so now they move on that and they say, well, we'll just come over here. And then of course, they give you psych evaluations. And those evaluations, of course, are saying, well, you know what? He's an angry man and he's got some problems and therefore he should not be. He's filled with hate speech. You know, hate speech is the thing you got to avoid. So if you've said anything that they deem as hateful,
Yeah.
Hey, you know what? We're going to take your firearms because that's where we are with this. And this really, they're just actually getting the American people involved in spying on one another to remove your Second Amendment rights. And by the way, it is without trial. It's not that you go to trial and you have a hearing or anything like that. They come and take them, and then now you have to prove your innocence.
Amazing.
That's the deal. So now you're on the defensive, and so it's not innocent until proven guilty. Oh, okay, I have called in on Jesse Lee Peterson, and I've red flagged him with the sheriff's office, so now they have to move on that. I tell you, it's horrific. It's absolutely horrific.
Is President Trump in favor of that?
Not to my knowledge, he's not in favor of red flag laws. Now, I don't know. Now, if he said something that I'm unaware of, I'm happy to hear it. But I don't know that he...
Yeah, I haven't heard anything either. I was just wondering. I noticed that they are using children in order to promote all of this just crazy, these crazy ideas. I remember when, remember that boy, David Hogg down in Florida?
Who can forget David Hogg?
I know. What a dumb boy. And he was, they were using him to push gun control. And now there's a little dumb girl from somewhere on the other side of the ocean by the name of Greta Thunberg. And they're using her for climate change. Why are adults acting like they believe these kids about climate change when they know that these kids are being used in order to do these things?
You know, this has been going on a long, long time. We've had climate change propaganda pushed even on elementary children for a long time. It's been in a lot of school curriculums. They put it in there. You get children. You can see it all over the country.
Yeah.
You can see little classes of small children that are all concerned that the earth is going to blow up, or that the earth is going to overheat and we're all going to die, or that the oceans are going to kill us all by the rising of the oceans, or that we're destroying the polar bears. And they have been pushing this propaganda in elementary schools around the country for a long, long time. And it's basically a way to brainwash the people. And that's all that's going on here. And then when you get a child out there, I'm not familiar with the young lady that you mentioned, but when you get a child out there, a little kid like David Hogg, a little fellow like that, then, you know, it's like, it's kind of hard to come back and be tough with them and answer them. But they've got children out there doing it. It's just, this is an adult conversation, and they get children on the side so that they can, you know, try to get an advantage here.
Yeah. In the good old days when boys were boys and men were men, they didn't allow their children to be used. What had happened to the family, society, that they allow the children of the lie to use their children to push nonsense stuff?
You know, that is a great question. And that, one of the things that... one of the things of the positive benefits, just one of them, of having a family that stays together, united, mom, dad, and the kids stay together, is that the children are protected and sheltered from the cares and troubles and anxieties of the adult world.
Yeah.
And that's what you want to do. You want to protect them from that. They have all of their lives to be involved in those things and to understand and to hear those issues. When they get, you know, to be teenagers and older, they can start getting acquainted with those issues. But that's the very role of parents, to protect and shield them from all of this kind of material.
Right.
Why would I want to do that? I mean, you know, that's why I don't tell little children, you know, oh, okay, well, you know what, if you tell a lie, you're going to the devil's hell. that's kind of what people are doing here. And they're just using children in this regard. And families should be protective of children and not absolutely push all the adult problems and anxieties that on children. That's one reason we have an anxiety explosion in our country.
Yeah.
I mean, we have children who are concerned about whether they're going to live or not because of nuclear armament. Is that something for children to consider? No.
Then parents act as though they don't care about their children anymore. They just let them be used. They let them they allow them to be encouraged to have sex out of wedlock, to live together, to even live in the parents' house unmarried. They'll let the boys and the girls have sex in the house, and the parents are there. It looks as though that's why the children of the lie destroyed the family, because once they destroy the family by getting rid of the men, weakening the men, they can then use the children and the women for whatever need they want to.
You know, it used to be that father knows best.
Yeah.
But now children know best. And the parents simply capitulate and they go along with the children's agenda, and a teenage kid coming in saying, I'm going to bring my girlfriend in here and we're going to live in your house.
Right.
And the parents go along with it. I'm like, where are the parents? Where's some backbone with parenting? There is apparently very little.
I would have never thought of bringing my girlfriends to the house and sleeping in bed with them or having sex in the house, knowing my grandparents or parents are home. It wasn't even a thought.
Well, you know, think about how Hollywood has portrayed this, Jesse. In so many Hollywood movies for many, many years. As a matter of fact, I read a book about 20 years ago by Michael Medved. It's a great book. He's a great commentator on the culture. Michael Medved, and it's called Hollywood versus America.
Yeah.
And in it, he has a chapter about how Hollywood continually portrays children as being wiser than and smarter than and all-knowing more than their parents. And the parents are the dum-dums, the parents are the fools, and they are having to learn from the kids. And you think about how Hollywood continually portrays that. You know, I mean, I see that all the time, even in some fairly good movies where, you know, a child will be throwing a temper tantrum and get out of my room to the parent, and the parent will, okay, that's his room, her room. No.
So who is to blame, Hollywood or the parents?
Well, I think there's enough blame to go around. I don't know. But, you know, people that are Christians ought to be able to be aware of these issues. But we have a lot of error that is being pushed on us from many different directions, and it is very difficult and it's challenging to bolster yourself and shield yourself from the world. I think that if parents are really ultimately to blame for this.
Yeah.
They should monitor what comes into their minds of their children, and you have to do that by, instead of putting the television in front of the kid and a video game and letting them be babysat by the video game or the television, you need to be engaged with the child and say, you know what, I know what kind of agenda we're going to be seeing on this kind of thing.
Yeah.
And shield those children from that.
I agree with you, because when I was growing up, our parents knew what was going on. They knew what was happening at school. They even in the neighborhood, if there were other bad parents with bad children in the neighborhood, they wouldn't allow us to even go down and play with those kids because they knew the parents were no good. So the
right.
parents in those days just didn't, and with television, they would not even consider playing all these bad movies and sex scenes and all that on TV because the parents would not allow it to happen.
You think now that a child, even in grade school, have cell phones and the parents are allowing them to have them and they take them to the room at night. Well, that is a window into everything that you might want to imagine, even in your most wicked imagination.
Yes.
And they could find everything they want to find. Where are the parents who are saying, you know what, put your cell phone in this basket before you go to your room?
That's a good point.
But they don't do that.
I know so many young men who are now addicted to pornography because
right.
on their cell phone, they can just pull it up now, they say.
Yeah.
And so when they do go into the room at night, the parents doesn't know. They're not paying attention. And a lot of these guys, again, becoming addicted to pornography because they're seeing it on their phones.
That's right. You know, and that's a huge problem in the school systems.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, because they're using computers, and so there's an IT department that continually blocks all of those types of sites. But it's always a huge challenge to keep them off of those sites. And the very fact that it is such a challenge shows that the children are going to pornographic sites.
Absolutely.
In pornographic images and reading ugly materials and threatening materials. It's just,
yeah.
It's a frightening thing.
It's too bad the world's taken over. I wanted to, so they have destroyed the family. They have, most family, not all, and they have taken God out of public square for the most part. Did you hear that about this Democrat that want witnesses to stop saying, so help me God? You
right,
know, when
yeah.
you're about to be a witness at a trial or something, you raise your right hand and so help me God. They don't want you to say that anymore.
Right. Yeah, that's Jared Huffman. He's a Democrat from your fine state of California.
Oh, no wonder.
He actually is a congressman in Washington. And he's on a particular committee, a Natural Resources Committee. And he says, you know, when they have witnesses coming in, then he said, what's the point of having them say, do you swear to tell the truth? And then, so help me God. And he says, you know, because a lot of people now are unbelievers. And he says that's pointless. And he says, why are you pushing religion on people that don't believe in God? He says, for example, we will have people coming in who are atheists talking about climate change. Of course, a lot of them are. Atheists are climate changers. And So anyway, they'll come in. He says, and why would have them say, you know, so help me God? He even says, of course, that he was on actually the Freedom From Religion Foundation radio show saying these things and saying that, you know what, they're all, of course, up in arms because Article 6, Section 3 of the Constitution says no religious tests. But that didn't refer to whether they believe in God or not. It referred to whether you're going to have a religious test, such as to say one particular denomination is going to run this country or not, such as they came from in old England.
Right.
In old England, of course, the state sponsored the church that was the Church of England. The Anglican Church, that was the official church. You actually paid taxes to the Anglican Church. And that was the state church of England. That was the kind of thing they were avoiding because freedom from religion, freedom of religion in America and in the First Amendment had nothing to do with whether someone's free to believe in God or not believe in God. We know that people are free to do that, but what they were talking about and what Article 6, Section 3 about no religious test is we're not going to make a test saying, do you believe a certain set of doctrines such as the Baptist Church teaches or the Methodist Church teaches or the Catholic Church teaches or whatever in order to serve as an officer in the United States? That's what Article 6, Section 3 is about. But the Freedom From Religion Foundation, they take advantage of the people's ignorance on the Constitution and ignorance of these issues and say, you know what, we don't want anything about believing in God. It's interesting. I want to make one more point on this.
Yes.
Those who are atheists and those who are sponsoring the Freedom From Religion Foundation, the very idea is self-contradictory because their worldview, Jesse, is that matter in motion is the sole reality. Matter, your brain, is just matter, and then motion, the electrical impulses moving through it. That's not the definition of free thought. You know, in other words, in order to change your mind, maybe we should bang people on the head and get another electrical impulse, another thought to come out, because there's no freedom of that way. There's no freedom of thought in that. That's the atheistic worldview. It's a self-contradictory worldview.
Why do you, Joe, I know we're coming to a break, and we kind of ride through it today. Bill, I want to hold you over for a few more minutes. I have a couple calls for you, but I want to ask, why is it that where are the Christians? Why are there protests? And why don't we hear loud noises from the Christians and getting involved with politics and things like that to stop all the children of the light from getting into our government and making these type of rules?
Well, I think maybe more claim to be Christians than are really Christians, for one thing. And then number two, they themselves have been had watered down Christianity given to them in so many churches. That's what's going on. They have watered down materials, and they don't even know what you think about where most churches are in the they don't have any solid teaching about anything.
Yeah.
You know, just be good, and that's about it. But what about the belief in certain particular tenets that the Bible teaches? Very, very seldom do you hear much on that.
That's amazing. I want to go to North Carolina. Osborne is a first-time caller, Osborne. Osborne, thank you for calling. You're on with Bill Lockwood.
Good morning, Mr. Jesse. How are you doing?
All is well. How are you doing, sir? I have no idea what Reginald want on. Can somebody let me know on Alabama? Go ahead, Osborne.
Yeah, my question was, what does politics have to do with believing in God anyway, with Christianity? Because I haven't seen anywhere in the Bible, or if you can show me, where it says a believer should vote. That's the only thing that we don't have to do because of the laws that we live by in this country. We're not mandatory. It's not mandatory for us to vote. So I know that we're supposed to obey the laws of the land. I know we're supposed to pay our taxes, and we're supposed to pray for our leaders. But where does it say we have to vote for a leader? And why are we running and dealing with being a Republican or a Democrat? All of it was created by Satan.
Are you a Christian, Osborne?
Yes, sir.
Bill, what do you say to Osborne? He want to know, why do Christians need to vote or get involved with politics?
Well, you know what I would say? I mean, I appreciate Osborne's question and his thought on that, but I think Osborne is short-sighted on a couple of points. Number one, and that is that our country is a little bit different than other countries in the world. It was founded upon the very concept of belief in God, and that is the Declaration of Independence reads like a religious document. Our rights come to us from God. Now, that's not simply true because the Declaration of Independence stated it. It's true because the Bible teaches we have rights from God, such as right to self-govern. We have a right to our own homes. The Old Testament even showed that people breaking into your home and you killed them, then that person was not liable. The one who killed the other person was not liable or guilty for that. Why is that the case? Well, because we have rights that come to us from God. Life, liberty, and property were not given to us by the founding fathers. They were given to you by God. So what is the purpose of the American government? The American government was designed to curtail powers that be from removing what God gave you. So that's why we're interested in these things. So, for example, life, is that given by God? Yes. Well, who takes it? Government takes it. Should we oppose the government when they take it? Well, I think certainly so. They take it out of the womb. They destroy babies.
Yeah.
That is a removal of God-given rights. Should we say anything about
that? That doesn't answer the question. Why are you voting for Democrat or Republican when the Bible, when God didn't say we had to? Nowhere in the Word of God, if you can show me that, I understand what you're saying, what you're trying to say. But to me, the reason why we are in America and we're still blessed, regardless of what's going on and what you think is so bad, what everyone thinks is so bad going on in this country, God is still keeping us because we believe in Him. It's not because we have to vote for somebody to get in office. All we have to do is pray for that person. God will lead that person. That's it.
Well, you know what?
That's it. What are you voting for? What are you standing in the? That Satan created that.
Hey, Bill.
God created that loophole so that we don't have to.
Bill, he black.
What makes you think that Satan created? Listen, in Romans chapter 1, we are told that when homosexuality is practiced in a society.
Show me in the Word of God where it says we should vote, is my question.
Listen, I'll get to it in just a second. In Romans chapter 1, we are told that homosexuality is practiced in a society when God gives up a society. So now you're saying God's keeping us. Really? How do you know that?
How do you know that God hasn't given us up?
I'm just addressing that one point. How do you know that God hasn't given us up?
How am I saying that? So that means you're saying that prayer doesn't work. That's what you're trying to say. You're saying that man has to take the power in his hands.
What would you say to Jeremiah in the Old Testament? Jeremiah, we're going to captivity is what he said. Jeremiah, don't you believe in prayer? Yes, I believe in prayer, but God's going to spare a remnant. That was the answer. They were still going to captivity. Josiah had a reformation, but they still went to captivity. It doesn't matter. But
what does that
got
to do with
it? It seemed that these Christians today feel that all you need to do is have just pray, but you ain't got to do nothing. Just sit at home and pray.
Hold on, Osborne.
Hold on. They don't seem to realize that the children of Satan are taking over the government, local, federal, and state, right? And they are passing laws that goes against everything that God is about. And those laws will enslave the children of God. They don't seem to know that we're supposed to have faith, but we got to get up and do something, too. What's the purpose of having faith if all you're going to do is sit at home and look silly?
What if the government passed a law that would arrest the Osbornes of the world for reading the Bible? Should we oppose those laws? Should we say anything about it? Would we be involved in saying, hey, I'm going to vote against the guy that says go arrest Osborne for reading the Bible?
What do you say to that, Osborne? Oh, hold on. I'm sorry. I put him on hold because he was running his mouth. What do you say to that, Osborne?
it's going to happen anyway. It's prophecy in the word of God that it's going to come to an end. Why are you preachers and all you people who, especially preachers, with all this, you know, preaching stuff that has nothing to do with end times?
Well, you're shifting gears. Now you're going in a different direction.
Yeah.
Everything you have to do with politics. Why are you involved? Why are we dealing with politics when we're not supposed to?
Which prophet did not go to the king? Which prophet did not go to the king and say, you're doing wrong? Were they involved in politics? Did Jeremiah do wrong?
If that was the case, then God had that person do that for a reason. And that was a rare occasion. So what are you talking about? It's not like we're supposed to go to him every time something's going wrong. If things are going to go wrong, it's going to go wrong in this world.
Osborne, did you vote? Osborne, did you vote for Obama?
I never vote.
You didn't vote for Obama?
No.
He black.
I voted for George Bush Jr. only because my wife pressured me to when I was married. I was a beta male.
All right, thank you.
I started seeing this show.
Thank you, Osborne. I appreciate you, man.
Thank you too, Jesse.
All right, buddy. All right. Is Reginald a first-time caller out of Alabama? Tell Nick to let me have the call, please. We're moving here. What is he doing? Reginald, welcome to the show. You're on with Bill Lockwood.
How you doing there, Mike? I kind of agree with
Speak
you.
Up for me. Speak up for me.
First of all, I agree with the last caller. I agree exactly what he said. When you look at the state of the believers of the body of Christ, what difference Jesus said, run to Caesar, things to Caesar, and to God, the things to God.
Are you black?
Oh, yes, sir, I'm black.
He black. No wonder.
Yeah, but you say he black. You bust out and say he black, but you don't know nothing about me.
I know you black, and I know what you're saying doesn't make sense.
Man. Let me say, I'm a black man that stands against abortion, that stands against homosexuality.
How are you standing against it if you're not voting? Anyway, go ahead. What's your question for Bill?
I stand against it from the pulpit.
But you don't vote? You don't vote?
I have voted. I vote. I did not vote. He's the reason I did not vote the last election. I love Donald Trump, believe that he's the best thing that ever happened to America. But I'm just like ours did. My trust ain't in man. My trust in God. Man can't do nothing.
So you didn't vote?
He can't do nothing for me.
So you didn't vote
I didn't vote this last election. I never voted for Obama. I couldn't force myself to vote for Obama. Obama was a piece of crap that fooled black folks.
What's your question for Bill?
My question for Bill, I'm just like Osgood. Why is it that he believed, as he was telling Osgood, what I'm saying is, yeah, God said run this thing to Caesar, out of Caesar, to God. So what do you think about that question?
Well, you answered your own question. You give to Caesar the things that are Caesar's. There are certain things
that
we need to stand
to God. But that wasn't you act like that. He told us it was something that we had to do, render to Caesar the things of Caesar. That doesn't mean a person has to vote, what I'm saying. A person does not have to vote. He can stand on the truth of God's word.
I'm not talking about voting necessarily right here specifically, okay. But I am talking about should we oppose the abortion culture in America, yes or no?
I have opposed it, and I've got my butt whooped down here in Dalton, Alabama.
You're in politics. You're in politics. Huh? You're already there.
No, what I'm saying is the abortion is not shouldn't be supported.
You're already in politics.
Anyone.
You're right there because you're opposed to the Democrat Party right now.
But Reginald, do you see that by opposing the Democratic Party, you're involved in politics?
Well, I do agree with that. I have no problem with politics. I'm constantly telling folks.
Well, what's your issue then?
No, I had to hear them, but I'm still.
What is your issue?
My issue is that I do not have to vote as a Christian, and it doesn't make a difference because the party that you got in is a worldly system. That system is not of God. That system is not of God, and you can't say that system is of God. He established it, but the Bible says that Satan is the prince of the power of the air. He's the ruler of this world system. So this system is going away from God. It's not coming toward God, so man can't change it, because if he can change it, it would already have been changed. All you can do is give the information.
All right, think about this, Reginald.
Hold on, Reginald. Go ahead.
Think about this. What you just said, that is, we're going away from God. I agree
with
you.
As a nation.
You said publicly on the air that we're going away from God. Therefore, you logged in on the issue. What is wrong with me logging in on the issue the same way, just with my vote instead?
That's right.
You're dealing with
I understand,
what,
but is your but do your, is your has your vote really made a difference? As your, I mean, really, with the people
well,
that you
is
have,
is your voice making a difference?
Today.
Are you saying, are you going to make a difference by saying what you just said?
I make a difference with people's heart and people's hearts.
Well, I think I'll make
you
a difference
you
too.
Said, what we're doing is we're trusting the very government that gave us Roe versus
So let me ask you
like
this.
Those that trusted the very government that brought in the welfare system that we that has destroyed the black community. We're trusting the system. We are to trust God over man.
Reginald, let me ask you something.
Yes, sir.
In Chicago, they voted in, and in Indiana too, but in Chicago, they voted in a black lesbian with a nappy afro. And this lesbian is the mayor of Chicago. She was publicly kissing another woman who she called wife. If the Christian had gone out and voted in Chicago and voted for a person who would who know those things are evil and not should be done, should not be done in public, would Chicago be better off with a Christian who is living that way and passing laws that would protect us? Or is Chicago better by not going, the Christians not voting and allowing a lesbian, a radical lesbian to get in?
Mr. Jess, I agree with you on your question, yes. But at the same
Which way is Chicago better? Had the Christian voted in the right kind of person or by not voting and allowing a black lesbian to get in?
I agree with you. I agree they shouldn't have voted her in. I agree with you 100%.
But would they have voted her in if the Christians had gone out and voted?
Where the so-called Christians probably
That's not the question. Had the Christian gone out and voted in the right man, would that woman be there?
Yes, would she be there if the Christians? I don't know the percentage of Christians.
That's not the question. Had the Christians gone out and voted.
If the Christians would have went and voted, yes. If the Christian would have went and voted. But my question
so should the Christian have gone and voted to prevent a radical lesbian from becoming the mayor of Chicago? Should they have gone and voted?
Should the Christian have gone? No, they don't have to vote. No.
I didn't ask if they have to. Should they have gone and voted to prevent a black radical lesbian from becoming the mayor of Chicago?
No, Mr. Jackson.
My name is not Mr. Jackson.
Mr. Peterson.
Should they have gone and voted to prevent that from happening?
No.
What do you say, Bill?
There's nothing can be said. He's contradicting himself. He says we're going
No, I'm not contradicting because what you said, you make
Hold on, Reggie.
Okay.
Go ahead, Bill.
Okay.
He wants to stand up and say something about it, but he doesn't want to cast a vote against it. He wants to talk about how we're going to hell and going to hell in a handbasket, and yet he's going to allow it to happen.
Yes.
He could stop it.
Okay,
he recognizes he could stop it. He wants
Chris.
To simply talk about it, but doesn't want to do anything about it.
Yes.
So I don't know what to say.
I don't think you can say that. I don't think you don't know me enough to say
you
that.
You do know you. You just said who you are.
Hold on. Hear me out. I heard all I'm saying to you. I'm telling you, if you ask people, I've stood against all those things. So I beg blacks, don't go.
Stop bragging. You're saying you're not supposed to be voting.
I'm changing that because I'm a black man. I do. I'm changing that. But I've asked so-called Christians.
You're changing what?
Don't be on a Democratic ticket.
You're changing what, Reginald?
I can't hear you.
You say you're changing what?
I say, no, I have asked Christians not to go to the polls, black Christians, and vote for Democrats. It's going to hurt you. If I got to vote, I'm going to vote for a Republican. I'm going to tell you that right now. If I got to vote, I'm going to vote for a Republican. I'm not going to vote for a Democrat.
All right. Thank you, Brandon. I appreciate you, man.
Okay.
Thank you, buddy.
Okay.
Anthony, we got to squeeze in one more call for Bill. Anthony is out of Connecticut. Anthony, thank you for calling. You're on with Bill Lockwood.
Hey, how you doing, Justin?
All is well, sir. Thank you for calling.
Hey, Anthony.
All right. Well, I had a question. I just wanted to know, Jesus said that everybody was lawless, right? And we're supposed to follow behind Jesus. So if we're trying to walk in his path, and Jesse says no man is good, and you just explained earlier that the prophets would be people that will go to the king and try to persuade them into, you know, following the right way. I wanted to know, when you're a Christian and you have this concept of good and evil, are you putting yourself in a lawless position, because there, you can't really measure good and you can't really measure bad. Once you do it, you know, it has its potency, I would say.
Well, just look at the family, for example. God established the family. We know that he did. He put the husband, the man, the head of the house. He's to guide the family and train the children in the way they should go. I don't deny that people act evilly. However, of course, we're going to look at it this way, that a man and a woman, a family, should be converted to Jesus Christ. And even though people sin, God still put children and the training of children under the guidance of parents, godly parents, and he says when they're older, they won't depart from it.
Yeah.
So that's how we should look at it, I think.
Okay, well, I was just trying to see, because we have like this, you guys are pretty much disputing the voting and who should be voting and who shouldn't be voting, Democrats, when in Jesus' time, when he had that same dispute with the Pharisees and everybody that was following the Torah, the way of the Moses, and he came with the New Testament, didn't he have that same delegation between people when he had to either, they had to vote for Jesus of Nazareth, when they called him a carpenter's son, he's nobody, you know, and he was lesser, and they put him in that position of being where he wasn't supposed to be held. So kind of like, what's the difference in what we're dealing with now?
I'm going to read again from the book.
They've got an interruption here, Jesse, so we need to wrap it.
All right.
Sorry about that.
Okay, thank you, Anthony. Hold on, Anthony. Mio, how can people get in contact with you real fast?
It's a News Talk 1290.
All right.
And it's Wichita Falls. That's what it is.
All right. Thank you, Bill.
All right. Thank you, Jesse.
Tell them to be quiet in the back.
Okay. All right.
Thank you, Bill. I appreciate it.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right now. Amazing. So check out Bill Lockwood, folks. All right. He is on, he has a radio show. He is, what is Bill Lockwood website? American Liberty with Bill Lockwood.com. American Liberty with Bill Lockwood.com. All right. And we went way over with Bill. So he's at work, so he cannot hang on any longer.